Tonight I thought we'd go to Luke's Gospel chapter number 2 and look at his mama. His mama has had him, so to speak, stick his nose in her business in a 3-day pattern on a couple of occasions. I'd like to look at those tonight and preach on the subject of the comprehension of the third day. I use the little word comprehension. It means the ability to understand clearly. Happenings of life often leave us with no ability to understand. I think most of us would admit tonight, if we'd take our halos off for a moment or two, that a lot of times when things happen to us, our first response is why? We just have no comprehension of seeing what in the world is God doing. Oftentimes, if we'll come back to that concluding point that things happen, do not just happen. There is a God behind it all. It would certainly help us to see that tonight. The comprehension of the third day. We'll begin tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. And verse 42, and I want to look first of all tonight at the vanity of her comprehension. The Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. I wonder how long he was missing. The Bible says in verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. He allowed them to find him on the third day. I was wondering tonight, I wonder, you ladies tonight's ever given birth to a child, I wonder what it would be like for you if you was to lose one of your youngins for 3 days. I know some of you sitting here tonight wouldn't mind losing some of them. If you know you could get them back in 3 days, you wouldn't mind losing them. Children, if you see your mama and your daddy laughing right now, there's a good chance that they wouldn't mind losing you for a while. The vanity of her comprehension. I notice in the text tonight, we see the supposing of her vanity. The Bible says in verse 43 that he's missing, and verse 43 concludes with these words, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Could you answer me a question tonight, Mama? How in this world could you lose one of your youngins for 3 days and not know it? She knew it not. That little word knew there means to understand or to see clearly. Why is it that she knew it not? The Bible says in verse 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company. The little word supposing here means to assume by thinking, but have no facts in evidence. They're thinking he's with them, but they have no facts in evidence to prove it. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Facts come from the Word of God tonight. Right. I believe the Baptist church tonight has had an epidemic tonight of a lot of thinking, very little knowing. speaking about what we think God's doing. Because there's some of you sitting right here tonight, I guarantee you that you are adamantly opposed to the fact that God is behind everything that's happening to you. You think it not to be true. You have no evidence to back that up, but you're thinking that to be true. And the scripture says that they knew him not. I see in our text that she knew this boy Jesus very in a physical manner. But I am convinced tonight that she did not know him intimately, spiritually tonight. She knew not of it. Things happen. He's missing. Things do not just happen. Happenings tonight ought to drive us to know and quit supposing. There is the vanity of supposing. You say, well, what if I am supposing tonight and I don't have any facts of evidence tonight? Well, go further in this thought tonight. Notice not only the supposing of vanity, but notice the seeking of vanity. The Bible says in verse 45, and when they found him not, it is impossible. Listen to me. It is impossible to find God supposing. It is impossible to find God thinking. You can only find God with the facts of evidence, with this book. I'm glad of that tonight, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
It's very convincing to me tonight that she had a strong relationship with thinking, but little or no relationship with knowing. Hey, we're not talking about some country folks from North Carolina, some good old folks from North Carolina. We're talking about the fair-haired girl, the Virgin Mary. The one the Catholic Church has raised her out of the grave and set her at the right hand of the Father. She's been with him 12 years now. And she ain't got a clue as to who he is. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the vanity of her comprehension. But go further with me in chapter number 2, verse number 46. Notice the vision of comprehension. The vision of comprehension. Because see, tonight, if all of your relationship with God is a supposing relationship, all of your relationship with God tonight is a thinking relationship, and things begin to happen tonight, and you do not have a strong relationship with the evidences of the facts, tonight, you will begin to suppose all kinds of things about what's happening to you. I notice there is the quest of manifestation. The scripture says in verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. I thought it was interesting. This is one of the only places in the Bible that he goes beyond the third day. He goes beyond. He hangs her out over hail before he lets her find him. How come? Because he didn't like her supposing. He did not like her thinking. Having no facts of evidence to back it up. I notice in this quest of manifestation. I didn't know if you noticed it there in verse 46. That verse begins, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found. That little phrase, and it came to pass, that's always a phrase of providence. The only reason they found him is because he let them find him.
I did not know if you noted or not. The only reason you ever found him is because he let you found him. Huh? See, tonight, none of our plotting, none of our scheming tonight, none of our thinking, none of our feelings tonight will ever find God. The only way we'll find God tonight, whether it be in salvation, whether it be in sanctification, whether it be in the catastrophe of some happening tonight, the only way we'll find God tonight, if we're full of the facts that are in evidence tonight, and he allows us to find him. I don't know about you, I don't testify for you. My wife and I, almost every day, we get together in the morning and we look for God. We go to looking for him. We're searching for him. We got the facts of evidence out. We read 7 or 8 books of the facts of evidence. We're looking for him, looking for him. Very seldom, I got a sad report. Very seldom we ever find him. Very seldom, it's very, very, very seldom we ever find him. But every now and then, we find him. And I assure you that neither one of us do this. Oh no. We get happy when we find him. See, he lets us find him just enough that we'll get up again tomorrow and look for him again. See if we can find him. And the facts of him. See, you can't find him getting up tomorrow thinking about him, supposing about him. But oh, it is as we get into the facts of evidence that we'll find him. The quest of manifestation. But I see not only the quest of manifestation in this vision of comprehension. I see the quickening of members. See, the reason tonight we often do not find him is because we're looking for him with unquickened eyes, unquickened ears, and an unquickened intellect. The only thing that can light up your eyes, light up your ears, light up your intellect is the facts that are in evidence. I notice in this text, if you've got it there in front of you, look at verse 47. The Bible says, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding." I was interested in that little word astonished. I had to go back and look it up again today because I thought it said what I thought it said, but I had to go back and check it again. It is our little word bewitched. It is our little word befuddled. They heard Jesus with these ears literally, and they were befuddled. Bewitched, duped, if you please, at what they heard. How come? Ears have never been made alive. See, tonight, it's not about hearing him with these ears. It's about hearing him with these ears. I cannot put my finger on the exact date, but I do know the period of time when I first realized that God talked to me. Matter of fact, he befuddled me today talking to me. I'm sorry, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. I was sitting over there in the prophet's chamber this afternoon about lunchtime, and I was watching Mr. Obama do his great speech on Obamacare. And he had that big group behind him. And he was just waxing eloquent, pointing out this one and pointing out that one about how good this Obamacare has been. Well, while I was sitting there, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if one of them would lock their knees and pass out and he would lose his whole train of thought?" Little girl standing right in the middle, she locked her knees and she was coming right at him. Be careful what you ask for. You're liable to get it. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, tonight there is the quickening of members, unquickened ears. But I'm seeing verse 48, the scripture says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed." His mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us?" I see here that they were looking at him with unquickened eyes. That little word amazed there, that is a very close derivative of that little word bewitched, astonished, befuddled. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, things are going to begin to happen to you and I. We do not have a strong relationship with this book. It's going to befuddle you.
Right, that's right.
Some of you, I'm afraid, are going to reach and get the gun and put it in your mouth. You'll reach for a rope, throw it over something, try to hang yourself. Try to get out of here. You think, maybe if I get out of here, things will be better. Are you listening to me tonight? Yeah. Things happen. They do not just happen. There's unquickened ears. There's unquickened eyes tonight. But I see in verse number 50, there's unquickened understanding. The Bible, speaking of his own mom and daddy, says in verse 50, "And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them." Not only is there unquickened eyes, there's unquickened ears, but there's an unquickened understanding. Their intellect has never been set on fire, enlightened by the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, I tell you, hey,
it's that blessed God, I tell you what, if I'd been living with Jesus for 12 years, I'd have known who he was. She didn't.
Right. Go ahead, preacher.
She's absolutely clueless as to who he is. Watch the text. Not only do I see the quest of manifestation, I see the quickening of members, but I see a questioning of motives tonight. Verse number 48, the Bible says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed." This is his mom and daddy now. They were befuddled. They were bewitched. They were dumbfounded. I'm not talking about some good old folks from North Carolina. I'm talking about somebody who has lived in the same house with him for 12 years.
You say, "Bless God, it'll never happen to me. I don't want to confuse you with the evidence." It happened to them. Do you realize tonight you may have been sitting here all your life in church and do not still yet know him? Still do not yet know him. You are, it's awful deep, I don't know if you can get this or not, maybe over your head. You are supposing everything's all right because you prayed that little prayer. Oh, you remember that little prayer you prayed? Hell will be full of people prayed that prayer. Hell will be full of people did what Anna did last night. Got baptized. Hell will be full of people did that. Supposing, thinking that did the trick. Quickening, questioning motive. Watch the text, though. "And his mother said unto him," in verse 48, "Why hast thou dealt with us? Behold thy what?" I was wondering where she was at during the virgin birth. Wonder where she was at when the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that she was going to have a baby and never have a relationship with a man. Was she in the dark? She said, "Thy father, you have upset us. You have caused us to sorrow." I love his response to her questioning motives. Verse 49, "And he saith unto them, How is it that you sought me?" He said, "Where was you looking for me at? If you'd have known me, you'd have known where I was at." Then he makes this statement. He said, "Wist you not, I must be about my..." It's almost like he told her, he said, "Psst, psst, that ain't my daddy. Daddy is..." Bringing her back to the concluding point that things happen, but they do not just happen.
Right.
12 years she's been with him.
I thought it was interesting in verse number 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Can you imagine the God of the third day submitting himself to two humans tonight that have never, ever submitted themselves to him? Clueless as to who he is. He has bowed down to them and obeyed them. They have never submitted to him. I wonder tonight how much God has done for us tonight, merciful to us, and we have yet not bowed yet to Him, not yet submitted to Him, not yet given all to Him. The vision of comprehension. Could we go further tonight? If you've got your Bible there, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3. Not only do I want us to see the vanity of comprehension, the vision of comprehension, but I want to mention, third of all, the vileness of comprehension. See, tonight, have you ever wondered tonight why you would raise a child from a very young age? Maybe as a baby you brought the child to church and you raised the child all of its life in church. And now they won't come near a church. You ever given any thought as to why that is possible? Look down the row at your children tonight. You may be having right on the row with you tonight a Esau or an Ishmael right on the row with you tonight. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Their mind has been filled with the facts, but they've never been touched by the Holy Ghost. It is one of the most dangerous things that there is. You may have been better off to have raised them in a hellish atmosphere as to the vileness they may go to. Because see, tonight, when your relationship with Him is all of a supposing relationship and a thinking relationship, and you have no strong relationship with the facts tonight, there's no evidence tonight that it's true. I was thinking about that with my own three boys that I raised. All three of my boys made a profession of faith when they were young. I never believed it at all. I never believed it at all. How come? I never saw no evidence of it. I never saw them touch a Bible. I never see them reading their Bible. I never saw them bow their knees and pray on their own. We rocked on. I raised them, drove that truth into them. Now in the later years, we begin to take vacations together, and I see them in the mornings coming out of that bedroom, got that Bible in their hands. They're going out there on that back porch. I see them out there for a long time. Got that Bible open out there on that back porch. I see them after a while, man, they got that head bowed. And I see them lips are moving. I said, uh-oh, they got it.
Yeah.
There's evidence. Are you listening to me tonight? I tell you, we ought to, if I had it to go over with my three boys again, I think I would keep pumping them. I don't believe you say. I can't see no evidence of it. I can see no fruit in it. I want to see some fruit. Yeah. Oh, you're listening to me tonight. It's got to be evidence. Here tonight, the vileness we can go to tonight, if all we've got is the thinking of the facts. If you've got your Bible there, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3. Notice the vile comprehension tonight. Verse number 18. Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. They went into a house. The multitude cometh together so that they could not so much as eat bread. Our Lord went into a house. He was going to go in there to eat. Man, the crowd got so big. They're pressing in on the house. They want to hear from him. They want him to say something. The Bible says in verse 21, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. There's a group came, and they told the master of the house, go in there and get him. Bring him out here. He's beside himself. That little word, beside himself,
It is our little word, cuckoo, cuckoo, crazy. They said, bring him out here. We'll take him somewhere and put him away. He's crazy. Matter of fact, don't tell anybody. He thinks he's God. He's gone. He's crazy. He's beside himself. I'm talking about a vile company. My thought is tonight, I wonder who this little group is. I wonder, pray tell, surely the Bible doesn't tell us who they are. Do you reckon? Notice in our text, not only the vile comprehension, but look at verse 31. We find out who the vile company is. There came then his brethren and his, time out, hold on, not her. She's brought the whole family down here. She's brought all of his brothers and all of his sisters down here. And she's told the master of the house, go in there and bring him out here and we'll take him home and hide him away. He's crazy. He's beside himself. I would remind you at this point, she's known him for 30 years. Not 12. Now, I could see it if he's a little boy. You can't really figure out if a little boy's God or not. But wow, 30 years. You said, bless God, if I'd have been around Jesus for 30 years, I'd have an intimate relationship with him. She didn't. She thought he was crazy. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the supposing tonight. When it's all thoughts tonight. No strong relationship with the Word of God. The vileness that you can go to. Matter of fact, John's Gospel chapter 7 said that all of his brethren at this time believed not. All of his brothers and sisters at this point in time have known him for 30 years and they're all still lost and on their way to hell. Wow. But I tell you one thing, boy, if I'd have known Jesus for 30 years, I'd be saved and on my way to heaven. They wasn't. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but they knowed a lot more about him than me and you do. They knowed him literally. Wow. The vileness of comprehension. Of course, I don't want to leave the Virgin Mary in total distress. Let's get her out of the slough of despond quickly. I know some of you are about to make the cross. You've got your Bibles there, John's Gospel. We've seen the vanity of comprehension, the vision, the vileness. And I point out to you in John's Gospel the victory of comprehension. I believe that there are three principles in Mary's life. Three principles in Mary's life that brought her out and let her begin to see clearly who he was. And that things happen, but they do not just happen. And I believe it is the three things that we must have tonight. When things begin to happen to us, if we don't go haywire, we'll have to have these. In John's Gospel, chapter number 2, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus end up at a wedding together called the Marriage of Canaan. Preacher, have you got any idea what day them folks got married at down there on the Marriage of Canaan? Well, I'll just let you be the judge. The Bible says in verse number 1, and the third day, there was a, gracious, he's done stuck his nose in her life again. You reckon he told them people to get married on the third day? Huh? Wow. Is there a God in heaven or not?
Go ahead.
And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.
I'm extremely interested in verse number 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She said, if you hear a word come out of his mouth, she said, you do it. I believe at this point she has taken a big step, and she has a strong relationship with the communication of his word. She thinks what he says is extremely important. In matter of fact, she is becoming very intimate with the evidence of the fact, even to the point of telling others, if he says something, you ought to do it. I am on a major campaign everywhere I go to preach, because in our big new evangelical circles of Christianity, most of our crowd is standing on the King James Bible. Bless God, that's all we use around here. We stand on this old book. Well, I'm on a campaign all across the country, and I'm asking people to quit standing on the King James Bible. Amen. Quit it! Stop it! Because it's extremely hard for you to open it if you're standing on it.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that's our whole problem. We're standing on a version of the Bible, but we very seldom ever open it. I'm telling you tonight, the devil never burped tonight that you will believe in the King James Bible. Doesn't bother him a bit, but he gets a little edgy tonight if you was to open it and begin to comprehend it. Begin to feel yourself with the Word of God. So the first thing that is leading to the victory of her comprehension in knowing who he is a strong relationship with the communicated Word of God. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Do you tonight have a strong relationship with this book? Do you share this book with your family? You men tonight, do you read this book to your kids? Do they see you handling this book? It's a must tonight. If we're going to comprehend, and it's not going to be all about supposing and thinking. But go further. Not only do we see the marriage of Canaan, this victory of comprehension begins, but I see in John's gospel, chapter number 19, there's something that happens in the mention of the cross that leads to her beginning to know who he is. Not only will it take a strong relationship with the communicated word, but I notice hanging on the cross, John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he says to John, he saith to his disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour that disciple took her unto his home. I notice the second thing helped her to begin to comprehend who he was. It was not only a strong relationship with the communicated word, but I see now there is a strong relationship with the care of his work. The care of his work. He is hanging on a cross. Every bit of his blood is flowing out. If there was ever a time when he ought to have been concerned about himself, it should have been then, but it wasn't. He cared about her. Wow. I tell you, one of the greatest things that helps me to get through my happenings and to know that he is behind my happenings is I can sense in the middle of them that he cares. He cares. He said he's touched. touched with the feelings of my infirmities tonight. He knows what I'm going through. He really does care tonight. You say, where in the world could I find that he cares? I am here tonight to tell you tonight, it will not seem in it for you through experience. The only thing that'll cement the fact that he cares is the evidence in facts. Filling yourself with the Word of God will convince you in the middle of your darkest happenings that he cares. I'm dealing with some family members right now. They have a very loose relationship with the Word of God. And almost every time I talk to them, I hear this.
Nobody care about me at all. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. Jesus died. I got an invitation to his funeral. He's gone. He don't care.
You listen to me tonight. He does care.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you've got to be strong related to the evidence. Because when things start happening, you're going to think he don't care. He's left you. He's gone. He's dead. Mention of the cross. Could I mention a third thought? John's Gospel, chapter 20. Must be a strong relationship with the communicated word. There must be a strong relationship with the care of his work. You must know from the facts of truth, filling your mind with the truth, that he cares. He cares. I notice in John's Gospel, chapter number 20, if you've got the scriptures there, verse 19. Then the same day at evening. Wonder what day this is. I'll give you a hint. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it with this hint. He got up from the dead that morning. This is the night of that morning. So this must be the third day. Wow. The scripture tells us in verse 19, at then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The Bible said in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. This ain't no Benny Hinn breath. And he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You'll never convince me. You'll never convince me. I know the text doesn't say it, but I'll show you another text that I believe would confirm it. I believe Mama Dearest is in this upper room, and she's there when he does this little number. And she got the Holy Ghost all over her now. If you're going to get through your happenings and really believe that God is behind, not only must there be a strong relationship with the communicated word, there must be a strong relationship with the care of his work, but there must be a strong relationship with the comforter of his witness. You must have a strong relationship with the Holy Ghost. You must be full of the Holy Ghost tonight. If you're going to make it through your happenings. I was interested in this text of this filling of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter number 1. If you've got the scriptures there. Acts chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip, Thomas and Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas the brother of James. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. And, wow, Mama ain't missing no more services. Oh, wow. She don't think he's crazy no more. She thinks he's God. Wow. Man, I done gave birth to God. Man, wow. She's up there in that room. They all up there continuing in prayer. And Acts chapter 2 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, mama ain't got the Holy Ghost on her no more. She got the Holy Ghost in her now. She's full of the Holy Ghost. She's even got tongues of fire on top of her. It is the only thing that'll help you to get through your happenings tonight. She knowed him for 12 years and did not have a clue who he was. She knowed him for 30 years, still didn't know who he was. But that strong relationship with the communicated word, that strong relationship with the care of his work, that strong relationship with the comforter of his witness, it showed her tonight that things happen, but they do not just happen. I am convinced tonight in my own heart and by my own experience, every one of us in this building tonight is weak in one of those areas. Weak in one of those areas. Either in your relationship with the book, your relationship with the fact that he cares, or your relationship with the Holy Ghost. If you have a loose relationship with this book, you are lacking in all three areas. Because you can't know he cares tonight if you're not in the book. You'll never know the fullness of the Holy Ghost unless you're full of the Word of God. One of those areas are weak in your life, and it will only expose itself, soft or deep, I don't know if you can get this or not, when things start happening.